Welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you're all doing well, and I hope that none of you out there watching have lettuce hands, because that's what we're dealing with a little bit today. To be fair, the lettuce hands in the end will be good for Bitcoin. We'll discuss that more. We're going to be talking about Elon. We're going to be talking about the crooks over at Coinbase. Well, I guess former employees of Coinbase, and well, I mean, they're all crooks. So we'll be chatting about them a little bit. We had a data breach over at Shift Crypto that does the Bitbox. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of different stumps, some Fediment, interesting news, and a little bit about what Fediment is and does. So we're going to cover the gamut here. As always, this is live. Anything can happen. So I defer to my friend Bill here.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks. Yeah.
If you have not already, like, subscribe, share, all those things help get this show in front of more eyeballs. I am Ben with the BTC Sessions. This is your daily session. Bitcoin. Before we dive into the news, let's take a look at where we are in the market right now. We're sitting at $23,190 per coin. A single US dollar will grab you 4,312 sats. 90.95% of all Bitcoin have been mined. Notable thing in the mining realm, we had a difficulty change of -5%, so that means it's getting easier to mine at current times compared to last couple of weeks here. And then in terms of fees, it has been a volatile ride the last little bit. I saw some higher fees this past week or so, and it's been in and out. Like, you can still get through with less sats per byte, but even right now, 28 sats per byte for next block. But if you're willing to wait a little bit, 3 sats probably be okay. 1 sat, you might be waiting a while, but you can still get through there. So just use RBF, use child pays for parents, take your time. If it's something expedient you're trying to do, then set those fees a little bit higher. Shout out to sponsors of the show, ShakePay.com. If you're in Canada, easy way to stack sats. You can fund your account with e-transfer and withdraw the same way. And there are no fees on either end of that. There's a thin spread once you get on there. And if you sign up with the link down below, you can sign up, purchase your first $100 worth of Bitcoin. They'll give you $30 for free. You also get an additional $30 every time you refer somebody with your own referral link. And then you can shake your phone every single day for free sats. You can use their sats back Visa card. They have Shake Paid, where they'll pay for purchases occasionally to surprise some users. Tons of great stuff. Check them out. Links are below. Ledin.io. I use these guys for a bunch of different stuff. They have a ton of different products. These guys, I have to say kudos to them for their fourth, maybe I'm messing up the number, their proof of reserves. So they have third-party auditors that come in and make sure that they're not jerking you around and they've got the money that they say they've got. You can check out their latest annual report in their blog. But nonetheless, they allow you to do things like, if you're in a pinch and you need dollars, you can deposit Bitcoin here, get a loan against your Bitcoin into your bank account within 24 hours. You pay back those dollars, you get back the same amount of Bitcoin. They also have savings accounts for Bitcoin and USDC. They have their B2X offering. And they're rolling out Bitcoin-backed mortgages across Canada and soon in select U.S. states. Check them out. start.ledin.io/BTC sessions. BitRefill. These guys help me a ton in living on Bitcoin. I can pick up any gift card my little heart desires with Bitcoin on-chain and via Lightning Network. I earn sats back as I shop. I can earn more sats back, and you can earn more sats back with their referral program. And if you're in the U.S. and you're looking to get on that Bitcoin standard, they've rolled out bill payments. So be sure to check them out for that. They also have inbound liquidity for Lightning nodes, all kinds of great stuff out of these guys, phone refills. Check them out in the show notes. Keystone, one of my most used hardware wallets. And I love it because it's totally air gapped. meaning you don't plug it into anything internet connected. It's all done offline via QR code. Works beautifully with things like Blue Wallet, Sparrow, Spectre, all that stuff. I would definitely say upgrade to the Bitcoin only firmware, and also pretty good in a multi-sig too. Really simple and easy to use. So check them out. Links are below and I have a full tutorial. And finally, if you're backing up any important Bitcoin wallet, get it in solid steel. Paper does not cut it. Fire damage, water damage. You can easily discard a piece of paper. Steel kind of gets rid of most of those worries. So this is how I back up my important Bitcoin wallets. So you can grab the Bilfoddle over at privacypros.io. And with that, let's get into the news. Let's talk about Elon Musk's lettuce hands. So this from Bitcoin Magazine. Today, it was announced in a Q2 update by Tesla that the electric car manufacturer had sold 75% of its Bitcoin holdings. Quote, as of the end of Q2, we have converted approximately 75% of our Bitcoin purchases into fiat currency. Conversions in Q2 added $963 million of cash to our balance sheet. Tesla held around a total of 42,000 Bitcoin at the start of Q2 and sold the majority of their Bitcoin at an average price of $29,000. On February 8th of last year, 2021, they announced that they purchased $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin and begun accepting Bitcoin payments. Later that same quarter, they sold 272 million of their Bitcoin at a profit, with Elon Musk saying he was trying to prove the asset's liquidity and viability as an alternative to cash on its balance sheet. Tesla later stopped accepting Bitcoin payments due to energy concerns. And this is where everybody kind of started to turn on Musk, along with the Doge pumping. And he stated that when there's confirmation of reasonable clean energy use around 50% from miners with a positive future trend, we'll resume allowing Bitcoin transactions. So a few things here. Number one, I think it seems relatively clear that Musk is utilizing the Bitcoin reserves and selling them into dollars, maybe to make their balance sheet or their lack of profits look a little bit better, so they have more income. But also, I just think he doesn't know what he owns. He never did. He clearly, like in the conversations subsequent after buying Bitcoin, he clearly didn't understand the goal of proof of work and what it ensured, and the scaling around proof of work or the scaling around Bitcoin and keeping small block sizes, making it possible for average people to run a node should they see fit. He just doesn't seem to value a lot of that stuff and scaling on chain and bigger blocks and things like that, and proof of stake seem to be things that to him seemed viable, but he wasn't putting in an importance on decentralization, which is hilarious because that's kind of the point. Also in and around the clean energy mining, which again, I think is a stupid topic in the first place, but to that point, there's the mining council, the North American Mining Council or whatever they're called. Their numbers are looking like their quote unquote green mix is like 59%. But you don't see Tesla accepting Bitcoin payments. So I don't know if he was just making up bullshit, probably just making up bullshit, because there was that interview with him and Jack Dorsey and a few others where he said, I may pump, but I don't dump. Well, turns out that was a lie. Let's move on. In news that should surprise absolutely nobody, three charged in first ever cryptocurrency insider trading tipping scheme. This is coming out of the Southern District of New York Department of Justice. So basically, they went and found a former C-level executive from Coinbase who was responsible for listing coins on Coinbase. And there's a small group of people that were privy to that information so it wouldn't leak out, and so that people wouldn't trade on that information in advance, which, let's just be honest, they did a piss poor job of for years and years now. Like one of the early ones that I recollect was the surprise listing of Bitcoin Cash, which subsequently pumped the coin, but the pump came prior to the announcement. So obviously a bunch of employees or a bunch of friends of employees became privy to that information. The coin pumped before the announcement. And then they're like, oh, hey, we're adding it to Coinbase. And I mean, this was kind of at a time when it actually fucking mattered, where it adding a coin to Coinbase meant that they deemed it to have a degree of viability, which, you know, them deeming anything to have viability is obviously they're not a very good source for that, but more so as of late, right? Because they've got an endless list of coins. It's literally a casino. And I'll bring this up later, but I recently did a video that more or less required me to reset up a Coinbase account and use it for an example. And for the like few days that I had that on my phone, the notifications were like, this coin is up this much, this coin is down this much, basically just coaxing you into making irrational, emotional decisions with your money at all times so that they can incur more and more fees. It's just garbage. It's total garbage. Nonetheless, what happened here? Well, and his name is Ishan Wahi, I believe, a former product manager at Coinbase Global. Effectively, what he did is he became privy to a number of coins that were being listed over a period of time and was conveying that information to his brother and somebody else. And they were trading on that information in advance, basically buying up large amounts of those coins, waiting for the announcement, and then selling them all to make a profit. Over the course of, it says, as alleged, the defendants made illegal trades in at least 25 different assets and realized ill-gotten gains totaling approximately $1.5 million. And actually, it was Kobe on Twitter, a relatively well-known Twitter account, that found a number of wallets when Coinbase was going to drop like a list of coins that it was considering adding. He found a wallet, an Ethereum address wallet, that basically loaded up on only coins that were associated with that drop of names that Coinbase was going to drop, that loaded up on them like a 24 hours prior to the announcement. And he was like, yo, it looks like somebody was doing insider trading. Somebody knew exactly what was going to be coming out in that Coinbase announcement, bought all of those things, waited, and then dumped them. And that's exactly what happened. Turns out it was this fucking guy and his brother and this third person. So again, everybody and their grandmother knew this stuff was going on and has been going on for some time. This is just one example. Now, it's worth noting that I used the Bcash example, but this guy was brought into that role in October 2020. So anything that happened before then, and I'm damn sure stuff was happening before then, would have been other people in positions where they were privy to certain knowledge and leaked it out. It's painfully obvious it happened with Bcash. I'm sure it's happened with others. So yeah, let's move on. There's data breach of the marketing platform ActiveCampaign, which is used by Shift Crypto. And that's what they use for their promotional emails, all that kind of stuff. So what leaked out? So it says they're investigating a data breach with ActiveCampaign, a hosted service we have been using for marketing emails. Today, we sent out a single email to all email addresses to notify them. They want to say that your funds on your device are safe, but you can expect phishing attempts to the email that you used to basically purchase your device. So they got locked out of their ActiveCampaign account, despite the fact that they were using all the two-factor additional whatever. That company locked them out because there was somebody downloaded a list of contacts. So all of the contacts. Now, I don't know exactly how this breach happened. There's no details on that. but it would be the fault of ActiveCampaign, not necessarily Bitbox and Shift Crypto. Still shitty though, but you know, if you're putting a ton of people's info into a third party, it's not fantastic. Now, what information was actually compromised? Name or alias, email address, and the IP address of your computer. Now, luckily, those are luckily. How do I phrase this? It fucking sucks. There could have been more information leakage had other parts of their campaigns been leaked, like namely individual home addresses and stuff like that. That would have been shitty. The IP address is an issue. If you're using something like a VPN, then that wouldn't have affected you. But yeah, this still sucks. Heads up for phishing emails. If you've gotten a Bitbox O2, yeah, I don't know. And so they say an incident like this is why we host the Bitbox shop ourselves and anonymize personal information after 30 days. So again, it looks like this will be limited in scope, but yeah, I mean, this is going to continue happening. So there's got to be better solutions for this kind of stuff moving forward. Again, if you're purchasing Bitcoin related stuff and you're super worried about this kind of stuff, and I think it's warranted that everybody be worried about this kind of stuff in some capacity, consider getting yourself a PO box, using an alias, using a dummy email that you use specifically for purchases like this. There's a number of ways that you can do this. And when you're ordering online, use a VPN. So there's a number of things that you can act on immediately if you would like to. I'd recommend it. I think it's worth it. Let's move on. Fedi raises $4 million to scale Bitcoin custody with Fediment. So I'll read kind of what the raise is, and then I'll tell you guys a little bit about what Fediment is and what it does. So Fedi Inc. on Tuesday announced that it has raised $4.2 million in a seed round as the company seeks to onboard more users onto Bitcoin with the Fedi app, per a statement sent to Bitcoin Magazine. The application, which the company expects to be rolling out in Q1 of 2023, will provide a user interface for Fediment, an open source protocol that leverages federated Chaumian eCash mints to decentralize Bitcoin custody and enhance the scaling capabilities of the currency. That is a mouthful. We'll get into what it means. Quote, Fedi and Fediment will help put monetary power back into the hands of everyone everywhere, said Fedi Inc. co-founder and CEO Obi Nwosu in a statement. This creates brighter futures for billions and especially for those struggling under oppressive regimes, which ultimately makes the world a better place. So I've had people in my ear telling me to check out Fediment and look at it from a privacy perspective for some time. I've kind of dragged my heels on that a little bit. I've since dove in. I've got a cursory understanding of what it's doing. So it's, again, as they mentioned here, Fediment itself is an open source, an open source protocol. And so the open source protocol, there's a pretty good talk from Obi on it from Bitcoin 2022 on the open source stage. And the timestamp is somewhere, where is it? It's somewhere around the 3 hour and 59 minute mark if you find their open source stage video from day 3. Okay. So effectively what you're doing here is there's two comparisons you need to make. One would be self-custody, owning your keys yourself and managing all of the responsibilities therein, including backups and all the trust involved with maybe leaving a key with a family member or something like that as a backup in a separate location, or if you're leaving it in a safety deposit box at a bank, then there's a level of trust where you're trusting them not to drill the safe and open it if there's a demand for that to be done by government or law enforcement. So there is some degree of trust involved in securing your backups, unless you're doing it totally solo and burying it in your backyard or something. So, you know, there's some nuance there. Then there's the worst thing you could possibly do, which is just fully leaving money with a custodian on an exchange. Awful, awful thing to do. Okay. Then there's the idea of fediment. And what this, how this would kind of work would be you'd have a group of second parties, trusted people that you yourself know, friends, family members, close community members, things like that, not financial institutions. There would be a federation with no single point of trust, which would be a multi-sig. Okay. This multi-sig would have guardians or key holders. And those guardians, you know, you'd have a 2 of 3 or a 3 of 5 or a much larger quorum, which has a control over this pool of money. And then you'd have also users that can partake in this large umbrella that houses a bunch of Bitcoin and be holders of money within that. And what's nice is it allows users, both the guardians and the other Bitcoiners that are involved but aren't key holders, to own portions of the Bitcoin that sit within that federated mint. And the benefits here are that you effectively have like a redemption, right? You can at any point withdraw from the federation. And because it is a multi-sig with people like community members that you trust, it would take a lot of collusion to straight up steal your funds. Now, it's nowhere good as holding your own keys entirely, but if it's the choice between a family member having just leaving it in a custodian versus holding their own, like they, if this is mentally meant for people who will just never have the technical prowess to hold their own keys, or just simply won't take action to do it. If somebody's not going to take action to do it, I'd at least prefer them to not have it in a centralized third party. And so this is somewhere in between. But the privacy benefits here are pretty good. So he goes on to explain that you can trade and move ownership of Bitcoin amongst members of the Fediment, of the Federation. So you as an individual and potentially hundreds, thousands, I don't know, like how big you could grow these, one of these things, but you could trade amongst yourselves and you would just basically be swapping ownership of the Bitcoin within this Fediment, which is no longer in a singular trusted third party. At any point, you can use this redemption to withdraw your Bitcoin on a first party wallet that you yourself control. But there's no, you can't easily define who owns what. Everything is shielded. Amounts are shielded. Nobody knows specifically who owns what except for you at the point of redemption. And even then, nobody can actually really identify who has withdrawn. They just see that it's withdrawn. So it's not perfect, but it is a very interesting solution. It helps with scaling because any transaction happening within the Fediment is off-chain. It helps with privacy because all of that stuff is off-chain and shielded from blockchain analysis companies. So that's very interesting. The only thing that blockchain analytics could see is the total amount within a Fediment. And it would look as if it was an individual user. So you wouldn't even know if it was a Fediment. So there's a lot of cool stuff here. Obviously, I'm sure some of you watching this are like, well, there's also some big trade-offs there. Yeah, absolutely. And they're not trying to, it doesn't seem like they're trying to obfuscate that. There's something somewhere in between full self-custody and leaving it with a custodian. It reminded me a little bit of the idea of Liquid. It's a similar thing, but whereas Liquid is just its own singular thing, Fediment can be set up by anyone because it's their own open source protocol that is still Bitcoin, and you can have multiple Fediments for different use. Also, there was something mentioned, but it was kind of glossed over, not necessarily in this talk, but in other readings and an article from Bitcoin Magazine, the previous one. They mention how... you could also have There we go. The Lightning Network, Bitcoin's second layer protocol for fast and cheap payments, can enter the Fediment mix to further strengthen the setup. More specifically, Lightning allows users in a federation to be interoperable with the entire Bitcoin ecosystem. So with that, it means that my understanding is that you could have Lightning channels into and out of the Fediment, enabling you to spend to any other Lightning user, which is super interesting. I'm not sure exactly how that would work and still maintain, you know, redemption ownership and not potentially siphon off funds. But I do find that to be, if it can be done, then all of a sudden you could have a series of Fediments that can interoperate and basically send Lightning payments to and from. And then this helps with scaling, privacy, and is kind of chain-wide, which would be the main detriment I see here, other than you don't just have entirely your own keys. So anyways, I've got some more digging to do on this. There's still a lot of thoughts that I need to parse through when trying to look at this. I've heard a lot of positive things from people. I've also heard people looking at individual things saying like, well, you need to be upfront about these risks and these risks. And I think that's right. And Obi here actually took some criticism in a flow chart, like that was checking off the different trade-offs and risks. And he took community feedback and has updated some of those charts because some people felt that it wasn't representative of the true risks and trade-offs. And so he's taken that to heart. But yeah, all in all, I think this is another great tool in our toolbox. Again, we had none of this 5 years ago. Everybody was so worried about scaling, and everybody currently is so worried about privacy. And this is one of those things that could address both of those issues. So I encourage you to watch this video, check it out, well worth a viewing. And then the talk afterwards is all about furthering Bitcoin privacy as well. Okay, another cool thing that I came across. This is called Border Wallets, and it's a way of helping yourself memorize a seed phrase very, very quickly without having that seed phrase directly printed on paper, which is kind of cool. And the way it works, I'll read a little bit of this thread here. So what is the problem? Seed phrases are used for generating and backing up Bitcoin wallets, and they can be difficult to memorize and recall, especially over time or in dynamic situations. This leads to most users writing down their seed phrase in plain text and storing them safely. While the approach is fine for those who live in a secure accommodation and politically stable countries, it can present a risk for those who struggle to protect their private property, have limited access to trusted third parties, live in areas of conflict, or frequently travel. Words versus patterns. So this is where he gets into kind of what's happening here. Imagine having 10 seconds to memorize A or B, which one is the easiest and most likely to recall after a few days. So take a look at this. There are 6 words: art, country, napkin, lift, hint, cool. And then there's a pattern. Got it? Good. That's all the time you get. So some formally conducted studies have shown that we are far more capable of recalling patterns and shapes versus words after prolonged periods of time. This phenomenon is called the picture superiority effect. So in a test of people trying to remember the word circle versus a visual of a circle, 10% recalled the word after 72 hours and 65% recalled the image after 72 hours. Being able to recognize shapes more easily than words bears out anecdotally too. We tend to remember faces, so on and so forth, getting to the crux of visuals. Let's see if this works. In the space provided, have a go at recalling the missing words and the missing pattern from the example above. No cheating. I mean, it's pretty obvious what the pattern was. I don't know if you guys recall, but it was just a straight diagonal line from the bottom left to the top right. Art, country, napkin, lift, hint, cool. Versus I wouldn't have remembered those 6 words otherwise. So this is kind of the point of border wallets. And so what this would do is you can randomly generate a grid list of all 2,048 possible seed words, which would be in 2 separate grids. You can then draw a pattern that you see fit, hopefully one that's not totally blatantly obvious. But again, the order of the words will be totally independent for each individual person that generates one. And you draw a pattern. And the pattern would be the seed phrase for you. And what you would do is you would just simply save a copy of your generated, it's called an entropy grid, without any designation as to what your pattern was. You just need to know where on the page your pattern was. And you would need to remember your checksum, which would be a final word, or you can just remember a number that represents that word. Nonetheless, this is what it would look like, something like this. And you could easily recover your seed phrase. You just need to remember your pattern and the order in which you redeem it. So in this, if you were going top to bottom, left to right, you would go top 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2. So you just start counting based on how you would read it on a page. So I found this to be super interesting. I'm going to be playing around with it. Their website is just borderwallets.com, and you can experiment with it. You can download the entropy and the, I can't remember what it's called now, the entropy file. And you can basically set this up and see how it works. Very, very interesting. And when you get into the concept God, what the hell did he call it? I tweeted about it earlier. Your entropy generation. Oh God, I'm going to have to look it up right now. Hold on. It's kind of cool. So I want to explain how it would work. Here we go. All right. So, gridception. So your entropy grid. At the bottom of your entropy grid, and this is where it sounds kind of counterintuitive, there's actually a 12-word seed. And that 12-word seed can be used to regenerate your entropy grid. Not your seed phrase, but just the grid and the order of the words that were needed in order to draw your pattern. Now, you can get into gridception, where you, you effectively create a grid. You use the seed phrase to generate that grid to generate a new grid. And you can kind of go down that line and create gridception, where you could have like six grids in a row that eventually lead you to the real grid in which you can draw your pattern. It's kind of like, we're talking about gridception here, but yeah, like you would have a pattern here and hey, this pattern on this grid is going to create the next grid. This pattern on this grid is going to create the next grid, because each grid, it has its own seed phrase. So anyways, hopefully I'm not melting your brain too much with this, but this stuff entertains me to no end and I love it. Wanted to call attention to some good content. I really like this one from Roy Sheinfeld. I'm never sure how to say his last name. Anyways, Roy from Breeze Wallet. And I don't even think he's calling it a wallet anymore because of this article. There is no such thing as a, quote, lightning wallet. The wallet metaphor incorrectly describes the nature of applications providing lightning network services. Now, this clearly was very much influenced by Gigi's recent article, which I thoroughly enjoyed, called The Words We Use in Bitcoin, Words, Language, Terminology, and Linguistic Attacks. And he talks about all the metaphors we use in Bitcoin and how a lot of those terms like wallet really miss the mark. And we need to start talking about things a bit more precisely to properly convey what they do and to prevent linguistic attacks like unhosted wallet, which is just a term to make it seem like you should have your wallet hosted by somebody, which is a thing that doesn't exist. That's just somebody else owning your money. Nonetheless, he goes into talking about what is a wallet, what is a Bitcoin wallet versus the traditional sense of it. What about Lightning wallets, custodial wallets versus non-custodial Lightning payment apps? And he gets into all of what Lightning does and how he's beginning to think about naming things. He brings up the topic of signers versus hardware wallets. I think I really am enjoying this conversation in and around the vernacular we use to describe Bitcoin and Bitcoin related applications, because I think it will begin to give us a better, more truthful picture of how these things function. And I hope that continues to go on. Another great piece of content. Alex Gladstein was on a Reason film on the importance of Bitcoin privacy alongside Craig Raw. He's the creator of Sparrow Wallet as well as Samurai Dev. And he talks all about Bitcoin privacy and kind of what can be done, where we're at right now, so on and so forth. I think it's a great watch. It's only like 11 minutes long. Totally worth watching. In the same vein, a bit of a privacy vein here, Bitcoin Magazine, they dropped their Your Guide for Using Bitcoin Privately. This was in their latest censorship-resistant physical issue, but it was like basically a little tarot pamphlet you could use. But it's super cool, actually. I really enjoy it. Nonetheless, they kind of broke it down here and showed you all the different resources you can use to help ensure your Bitcoin is used privately. And then beyond that, if you're still looking to go down that privacy rabbit hole, I've got a whole list of videos that you can check on, just general, how can you use it more privately? How can you get non-KYC sats? How can you use Whirlpool? How can you run a node? How can you use Paynims? How can you use things like Mercury Wallet with state chains? Lots of interesting stuff there. So feel free to dive down that rabbit hole. Up next, I got to do some shout outs really quick. Thank you to those of you that are listening to the pod via things like Fountain and Breeze, and for dropping some boosts via sats to my Lightning node. So again, BTC Fiend says, always looking forward to your Friday sessions. Merlin says, my Lightning pro tip for newbies is if you're having trouble routing payments to a business, look up a Lightning Network Explorer and they show nodes. Try to open a channel to that node or a node connected to them, which is listed on the site. Very useful information indeed. 1ML is a good site for that, or lightning.terminal, I believe, is another good one. Also from Merlin, can you do a video on the Bolt card from Coin Corner? As a matter of fact, I can. In fact, I just got a stack of them here. They're sitting on my desk and I've got my Bolt card. What are these? These are NFC enabled tap cards linked to either a Lightning wallet or linked to a Coin Corner account. The latter of which is custodial, the former of which is non-custodial. So you can like tap as a gift card or something like that. Super awesome. Really enjoy that. I will be diving into that soon. A couple other quick ones. Bullish as fuck from the dude. Agree with Svetsky regarding Atlas Shrugged. So Alex Svetsky was on last week's Why Are We Bullish? And he said that Atlas Shrugged was one of the great books of all time. And if I think his quote was, if we had to burn all existing books and only leave one, I would leave Atlas Shrugged. And he said it was a tough call, but that's probably what he would go with. Hola to Pepero, Pepero or Pepero, one of the two. Awesome work, Ben, from user blah, blah, blah. Thanks for Fistful of Sats and the heart from Michael Matalef and Responsibility Go Up from Second Breakfast and Moss with Svetsky, another anonymous user. Really enjoyed that. So thank you guys for the boosts. Thoroughly enjoying you seeing your comments here, and I'll continue to read these out on the new show. A couple other things on Monday. If you have newcomer friends that maybe own, well, quote unquote, own some Bitcoin, have bought some Bitcoin on an exchange, but have yet to take self-custody, I realized I didn't just have a basic, what is self-custody and how do you do it in a few minutes. So I finally made that video. It is there. It is officially added also to the getting started and self-custody playlist that I have on my channel. But if you search up how to self-custody your Bitcoin, you can send this to literally anyone. They'll be able to self-custody in the process of watching it. So please get your friends to self-custody their money. don't leave it on the exchange until it's too late, and ensure that your friends and family are doing the same. At least get them familiar with using their own wallets, backing up and restoring them. And this will do that for them exactly. Okay. So feel free to share that. And tomorrow, be sure to tune in. We've got Lisa Huff. We've got JC Crown. We've got Brandon Quittam on the show for Why Are We Bullish? Super stoked for this one. This should be a good one. Killer crew. Lisa's awesome. I met her in Oslo for the Freedom Forum. She was great. Yeah, JC doing a lot of amazing work, and Quittam is always insightful. So very excited to have all of you have all of them on the show. Shout out to everybody in the chat, by the way, that's here watching. I am seeing your comments. I usually scroll through them at the end of the news show, because it's kind of tough to read them while I'm doing the news. But I do see you guys there, and I really appreciate you guys adding your comments. So I'll be doing a quick scroll through after I go offline here. But with that, I'm done here. I think we'll wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for watching and or listening if you're streaming sats right now. Do remember on YouTube to like, share, subscribe, all those good things. If you want to help the show in another way, you can always hit up the previously mentioned sponsors down below. ShakePay, Ledin, BitRefill, Keystone, Bilfoddle, they're all down here. And if you really liked what you saw, you can always hit me up with a Lightning tip, or a Bitcoin tip rather, at my Strike page, strike.me/BTC sessions. Hit the tip button. You'll be greeted with a Lightning invoice, or if you prefer, tap the arrow to the right to see a regular Bitcoin QR code. With that, I am out. Have yourselves a wonderful day or evening, wherever you may be. See you guys next time for your daily session. HODL the Bitcoin.